to look at the subject of three questions from John 9. You may remember John 9 as the occasion when Jesus healed the blind man. The first couple of verses of that passage teaches us that this man was born blind. There are six occasions in the gospel records wherein an individual that was blind was made to see. But of those, the only one that specifically states it was from a man born blind. Later in this account, in John 9, those individuals who are amazed by it would say, it has never been so in the world that one who was born blind was made to see. In one of those instances where Jesus healed a man that was blind, he healed him partially in the sense that the man said, I see trees as men walking, if you recall, or I see men as trees. And so this individual, by that statement, understood that he was able to see prior to that. So some accident, some disease perhaps had caused him to lose his sight, but he was not born that way. This man was. He was congenitally blind from birth. And so the disciples asked Jesus, you recall, who was it that sinned that this man should be born blind? Was it him or was it his parents? And of course, that was the thought, the preeminent thought of that day and time, that if a person had some kind of physical malady or handicap, it was because of a direct sin, either in their lives or in the lives of others. Well, Jesus didn't address that particular issue at this point. He did it on another occasion. He asked them in Luke 13, if you recall, those individuals that were killed by the fall of the Tower of Siloam. He said, do you think they were sinners above all that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so Jesus did not teach that prominent idea or thought in that day and time that every disease or malady or physical handicap was related or connected to sin. And that was their prevalent thinking. So Jesus said, this is in order that I might be able to show the power of God, which of course he did in healing this man. This man obviously was known by the general populace, and we'll see that as we get into the account, because they said, surely this is not the same man. Is this he that begged? We'll look at those questions together. So three questions were asked by the individuals here on this occasion, and these three questions also relate to us in evangelism matters, in our taking the gospel to others. So let's examine these three questions that we find John chapter 9. The first question is not this he that sat and begged? Not this he that sat and begged. John 9 and verse 8, further along in the account, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? It would have been hard to believe it was the same man, of course. The change was just too great. Here was a man that was born blind. There was no hope for such an individual in that day and time, little hope in our day and time, though we have advanced in technology. But some even said on this occasion that it somewhat looked like him. Surely this can't be him. The change was so different. The change was so stark. He himself told them, I am he. And yet still many of them failed to see the truth of the matter. Well, it ought to be so with us in our lives as we become Christians, that our change is evident to others. Now, true, some individuals whose lives have been lived in various states of departure from moral standards and so forth would have a greater change naturally in their lives than others would. But still, there should be a change in our lives when we become Christians. Some didn't need to make too many drastic changes when they obeyed the gospel. Some obeyed the gospel very early in life and have not gotten into ruts and routines of sin. And yet some who have been steeped in ungodly traits and practices all their lives suddenly make a drastic change, and it's as if that individual has been made to see. People are impressed with that, and they are struck with the stark contrast of an individual. Here was one who was walking in this fashion, and suddenly now he's walking in a different way. So it ought to be evident in our lives. Should be a noticeable change in our lives, just as there was in this man's life. He had an encounter with the Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. As a new creature, we should walk in a new way, in a way that's different from the way we walked prior to that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That contrast, that stark change is seen in Romans 6, 3 and 4 as well. Know you not? That so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I mentioned that this morning as well. So the newness of life ought to be a change from the previous reality for that individual. This man that was healed by Jesus, this man born blind, you can bet he walked in a new way, in a new fashion. Prior to this, he was only able to feel or to touch, taste, or to smell things or hear them. Now he's able to see. And so he walked in a different way. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And so it has been before ordained, determined, that we should walk in those works which God has put before us. And so if we walk according to his ways and not into our own, we walk in a different fashion. There is a change. Many times a drastic change in individuals. And other people can see that as well. Further, Paul said in Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old one, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now remember, individuals, according to Romans 6, 3 and 4, who are baptized into Christ become a new creature. Here the old man is put off, corrupt according to the world, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, it was very evident by this man that had been healed of his blindness by Jesus. He was a different individual. He walked a different way. He was able to see things in a different light. And as a result of that, people could see them. And they were amazed. Is not this the same man that sat in bed? Others said, well, it's not really him. It's someone that looks like him. And then he adamantly stated, no, I am he. I'm the one who sat in bed previous to this. Peter puts it in this way, 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Notice the contrast. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, in other words, walking according to their ways, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, abominable idolatry. Wherein they think it strange, notice, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You might have encountered that from someone who knew you in a previous life, someone who knew you before you obeyed the gospel, and now they see you in a different light. And as Peter says, sometimes those individuals will say, why don't you do the things you used to do? Why don't you engage in the things you used to be engaged in? And when they can't get you over to their side, so to speak, then they speak evil of you. Well, that's a lot of times the case. From people who have known us from previous times, and the ways that we walk, we walk separately. And it ought to be that way. And that's what Peter's saying. So, a transformation then. It's not this he that sat in bed. When we mature as Christians, people will see a difference in us, or at least they should. Then we should ask ourselves the question, can people see a difference in me? Do they ask? Not ask then, in a sense, is not this he that sat in bed? Is not he that same person that we used to know in this way? Remember the movie, and it'll become very popular again, to the singing of the Christmas Carol, which Ebenezer Scrooge changed overnight from the perception of those people. And they were amazed, those who formerly were kind of fearful of him, according to which presentation of that movie that you watched, they were kind of afraid of him, and then suddenly he speaks in a different way. He walks in a different light. He is jovial and happy. Something happened to him. Well, we know, of course, that those dreams did, but in this case, something happened to this man. He walked in a different way. He was a new man. That old man was no longer around. So it should be with each of us then. Philippians 2 and verse 15. Paul said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crippled and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. This man stood out, this man in John chapter 9, because of what had happened to him. He had encountered the Lord, and because of that, he was different. He was changed, in fact, in a very stark way. These people saw that. So it is with us. When the truth is really a part of our lives, when we're truly converted to Christ, we become different individuals. And it should be evident in our life. We sing the song, "Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me." Well, that should be the case. New creatures, new individuals. The old person has been put away. So the first question, is not this he that sat in bed? And the second question, how were thine eyes opened? Well, this is a natural question that would follow. As this man, as we noticed at the outset, he was well known by the people in this area, that community, because they said that this is the one that sat and begged. And then they ask him, how then were thine eyes healed or opened? Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? That would be the next question, right? They determined, okay, this is that individual. His eyes have been opened. What happened? How were your eyes opened? They wanted to know how it happened. They wanted to know what made the difference and who it was that was responsible for this change that had been brought about in this man. Obviously, he was different. They wanted to know how it came to pass. It's true, faithful, godly Christians are the salt of the earth. And some people, when they encounter that, who are inquisitive, want to know how did it happen. Matthew 5:13-16, you're the salt of the earth, Jesus said. The salt of lost his savor, where we shall be salted. It's worth good for nothing to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Get a light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, on a candlestick, and they give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The good works of this man were not necessarily seen, but the change in him was a reality that was seen by those individuals. And they then were interested. How did this happen? How did this change come about? It was just a natural question that should have been asked. Some people, perhaps some person, will take note of your new life. And they then will see the maturation of an individual. And perhaps somewhere along the line will say, how did that happen? What made you change? You're a different person than you once were. So what did this man do? He told them. He told them every detail. Told them who did it and how it was done. But imagine the reaction. You recall how it was done. Jesus spat on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes with clay. Told him to go wash in the pool. And as a side note, there would be no healing for this man had he not followed in detail that what Jesus told him to do. And yet people fail to see that today. There was nothing magical about the dirt or itself, though it had come from Jesus. There was nothing magical about the pool of Siloam, but there was something involved in the obedience and the detailed way that this man was told to do. You see, no other clay would have survived. No other pool would have been sufficient. He was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and that man did. And, of course, was healed on this occasion. But imagine what individuals said. How, as they asked the question, how were thine eyes opened? Well, he spit on the ground, he made a little clay, and he put it on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, that's ridiculous. You're crazy. Who ever heard of spit and dirt curing blindness? Someone might say, I've never heard that before. Well, when we tell people what they have to do in order to become a Christian, in order to have their eyes open, so to speak, spiritually, some will disdain that, just as individuals here likely did. This man was so joyous, he was willing to tell. He was willing to tell all. He told them on the spot, while the iron was still hot, so to speak. How many such opportunities have each of us wasted in our lives? And we had the chance to say something, but we didn't. If I ask, how were your eyes open? What would you say? Well, let me ask my preacher. Would you say, well, let me get you some information or a few tracts about that, or let me let you talk to someone else about that? See, we should be ready and available to answer those questions ourselves. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for your reason for the hope that is within you. Some answers can be pretty simple, just like the answer to this man. What did you do? And he told them, no doubt some of them thought, he's lost his mind. That's the way it was. How do we answer individuals? What happened to open your eyes spiritually? How is it that you are no longer blind, but now you see? To put it in the context of this story, we tell them. We need to be able to answer them and tell them. We're told to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for remission of sins. Now, it will probably take more than that for most people. They've been led in a totally opposite direction. And when told them, for instance, that you have to be baptized for the remission of sins, they may say some of the same things that were told this morning. What are you afraid of? You don't have to do that. There's nothing involved in that water. Sound familiar with the story in John 9? Sure. It might be that we may have to go more in depth with them. But we need to have the willingness to answer these individuals, not let the opportunity pass. This man didn't. He was willing to let them know every detail about what happened to him. Remember the proverb writer said, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Well, this man wasn't necessarily winning souls spiritually, but he was lifting up the Lord who had done what he did. He was willing to tell them about that. Our lives should be so different from the world that people want to know what happened to you. What made you so different? Maybe this individual is made different. Is not this he that sat in bed? And then they ask, how were thine eyes opened? And then, the next question, where is he? Where is he? John 9 and verse 12, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I do not know, I know not. That's the next question that followed line. They said, is that not this he? They determined it was the same man. Obviously some great thing had happened to him. He could now see. He had not before this time been able to do so. And then the next question would fall in line. How were thine eyes opened? And then when they determined what had happened and who told him to do that, obviously to them the power was in the person, not in the procedure, even those who said the procedure was necessary. They said, well, where is he? In other words, we would like to see him too. We want to see him and talk more to him. A natural question. And they didn't ask, where can I get some of that salve? Do you have any more of that clay that he made? They didn't ask that. They didn't ask for directions to the pool. They wanted to meet the man responsible. So they said, where is he? Can you introduce us to him? Now, we don't know the motivation, per se, of these people that asked this question. Later, we find out the Pharisees were introduced, and they came in and muddied the waters, if you will, by trying to accuse Jesus of fault by healing on the Sabbath day. So they minimized what was actually done and tried to maximize something that wasn't there to begin with. That is the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, which he did, but wasn't a violation of the law of Moses. But these people asked the question, quite likely they were serious. Well, where is he? We would like to see him and know more about him. If we change our lives and if we begin living as we should, people want to know, where is he? Not just the procedure, but the person. How is it that you've changed? Who has made this change in your life? Who's been responsible for doing that? Where's the one responsible for this change? Those who realize that they're in sin are not interested in a fancy building. Well, that is the individuals that are interested in those kind of things are not really interested in the right things anyway. They don't want to know about the person. They don't necessarily want to know about the particular place if they are attuned to truth. They want to know better matters about that. Those truly interested in truth won't put much stock in the preacher, except the fact that he preaches the truth. And yet far too many people do. They put their emphasis in the wrong place in those matters. These people, after they saw what had happened this morning and heard the fashion in which it had taken place, understood that it went beyond just the mere man that was healed. It went beyond just the process that he was told to do, even though that was unique. But it went to the person, and they wanted to know more about him. They're going to want to know more about Jesus. Where is he? Hebrews 11, 24 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And notice Moses went through this transition, if you will. Here he was in the palace of Pharaoh. He was second in line to be in command of all of Egypt. And yet he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ a greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses made this 180-degree change in life, so to speak. He had never left his roots in understanding who God was, who his people were, and what the mission was for them. Here was the opportunity, and Moses took it. And he turning his back on all the riches and wealth and all the prestige and power that were his and could well have been his in Egypt. and he chose rather to follow in the steps of Jesus, even understanding as he did that he would be approached among the Egyptians, that he would be one who was highly held by God himself. So it is with this blind man. This blind man was healed. And they said, how is it you come to be healed? He told them every detail. And then, of course, they wanted to know where Jesus was. 1 John 2 and verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We have to be obedient to his will. I know him because I live by his will. That's what John said. If we keep his commandments, we know him and we love him. I know him because I observe his commandments. I know him because I walk in his steps. If we're not an obedient child, we don't really know him. Therefore, we can't really introduce him to another. If this blind man had not met Jesus, he couldn't introduce him to others. If he had not been impressed by what Jesus offered and what Jesus did for him, he would not have been one who could offer that to others. And yet he was. It's very evident on this occasion. Now, this was physical, of course. He was a man born blind. He was healed by Jesus. Obviously, totally different man. So much so that they said it can't possibly be the same man. But it was. And they would say, well, how did this take place? How is it there's such a change in your life? I want to know more about that. And then eventually, where is he? I want to go to the source. I want to go to the individual. The individual who is responsible for this. We have friends, neighbors, relatives who want to know Christ. And there's no better way of introducing those than by do we fall in line then? The pattern, so to speak, of this blind man? We were blind spiritually. We were spiritually blind when we fell into sin, but we've come to see when we've been obedient to the truth. How is it that your eyes have been opened? Are we able to tell people? Are we willing to tell people how that is? And then when they might say, well, where is he? How do I do what you've done? How do I become what you are? Would we lead them to Jesus then? And would they believe us if we told them that we could? These three questions are significant on this occasion. Is not this he that sat and begged? There's probably a difference in your life so that people that have known you previously can see a change. Let's say they haven't seen you in 20 years. Suddenly, you're a different person. We have a natural process of maturing that makes us different in many ways. But in the ways that really count, we're a different individual. Is not this he or she that sat and begged? And of course, when they determine that, how are thine eyes open? How is it that you become this new person, this new creature, this new man or woman? And then the final question, where is he? Lead me to some soul today, we sing often. That's when you need to know the answer to the question, where is he? Unlike this blind man who said, I know not. We know where he is. He's to be found in truth. Sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus Christ. Thy word is true, John 17:17. We find them in the reality and truth of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We can lead others to that change as well, but only if we ourselves have been truly changed. If we are that individual, as we all were at some point in sin, we sat and begged. We've been made to see because of the truth of God's word. Others likely will want to know about that and should know about that. We should be willing to teach them every detail about it. This is what I did because this is what he commanded me to do. And following us, then, we eventually find Jesus. Where is he? We can show them. Jesus is the light of the world. He's like the sun. We're like the moon. We just reflect that light. And as the moon has different phases, so it is with our lives. Sometimes we're just a mere shadow of the reflection of his light. Sometimes we have a total eclipse, so to speak. Something gets between us and the true source of light, and then we are in darkness. But if we are, then we can come out of that, asking God's forgiveness, 1 John 1 and verse 9, and once again reflect the light that is here. The question for us tonight is this the individual that was born blind? Is he? And the next question, how did this happen? What happened to you that made you such a new person? Where is he that did this for? We can answer those questions. We can lead others to Christ. We can lead them to the light so that they can come out of darkness, spiritual blindness, being able to see and have a perfect way to be able to look at. Tonight, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to be baptized. baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. That's the procedure. And without following that procedure in detail, as this blind man did, he never would have been made to see. He had to take that spittle that Jesus put on his eyes. You have to admire him for being willing to do that. And go to that pool of Siloam and watch as Jesus. There was nothing in the water, nothing in the dirt or the clay that was made, but there was something that he was made of Jesus. We're told we have to be baptized for the remission of sins. Nothing in the water, but there is certainly something that he was made. And that's why Peter could say, the like figure we're into in baptism does also now save us, because it is the action of obedience that saves us. Tonight, you can do that. If you've done that in the past, you've turned away from the light of God's Word and are in a darkness phase, so to speak, and not allowing the light of God's Word to reflect on you and thus be seen by you, we can have changes in our life. We can become that individual so that people look at us and say, is this the same person? We need to answer every invitation. We can assist you. God knows.